Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 through to 35. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying, "He has an evil spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Jesus asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Is anyone here crazy? Or, you know, at least feel crazy some of the time. I'll take that response, the snigger, to mean that, yes, there are some of you there, so I'm glad it's not only me. It's very encouraging. But we can all get a bit crazy at times, just with the regular minor and major troubles of our lives, as well as those of us who are technically nuts. Of course, we are still in the insanity, or we still have with us the insanity-inducing dinosaur in the room, the COVID-19 pandemic. Intriguingly, the pandemic has spawned a torrent of humour around the world. How many emails or Facebook posts or tweets have you been sent with COVID-19 related jokes? Been a few. Experts tell us that humour is an essential way of managing psychological trauma. So it's not surprising. But none of this ignores the extremely serious nature of pandemic related mental illness that has been experienced by many around the world. So there's an enormous need to find sanity in these somewhat crazy times. And the question of what is sane and insane is central in today's gospel reading from Mark 3, as well as the source of real health of mind, soul and body. If we're feeling it all nuts at the moment, we're actually in pretty good company. Because according to today's gospel reading, as we just heard, Jesus was accused of being loopy, bonkers, in fact, off the scale, stark raving mad. And not just by his enemies, by the way, but actually by his own family. Thanks, Mum. Thanks, bro. And others actually went quite a bit further than this and said that he was demon-possessed. So why have Jesus' family and others made these harsh judgments? So at this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus has been going around, he's going around teaching people God's word, helping and healing them. And his message is how God is gracious, merciful, and forgiving to people who have sinned and fallen and who are broken, and that he wants to heal and enrich their lives. In other words, this is the good news. This is the gospel message. And this news has spread like wildfire, and it's attracted huge crowds of people, not surprisingly. And Jesus wants to just keep on teaching and ministering to people like this. And they keep coming to him and soaking it up. Even when he went home, we read there, the crowd came together around him so that they couldn't even eat. So Jesus is spending most of his time and energy doing this, which tells us that he believes that this task is the most important thing that he can be doing. And Jesus tells us in verse 35 that this is God's will that he's doing, so God also sees this as the most important thing as well. Which then would have to mean that for his followers, Christian believers, us, that we would also have to agree with Jesus and God the Father. The gospel message is the thing that we have to be most into, and that we have to be most into telling and sharing with other people, just like Jesus was. But by criticizing Jesus for doing this, his family are saying that this is all too much. It's over the top. It's out of control. In fact, it's nuts, crazy, insane, mad. It's kind of like when people say, well, it's okay for you to be a Christian, to have your beliefs. It's okay to go to church occasionally, but, you know, don't get too carried away about it. Be sensible. Be reasonable. Don't let it take over your life or anything. But what Jesus is saying is that the truth of the gospel must become our controlling center and direct and shape all the different parts of our lives, and that we must live out of its truth from day to day in our relationships, our work, our retirement, our study, our sport, our leisure, our holidays, everything. And as we've already heard this morning a couple of times, Jesus says, those who do as I do, they're my real family, my mothers, brothers, sisters. In other words, they are the ones who really belong to me and to God my Father as his people. With the clear implication that those who refuse to do as he does do not belong to him or his Father. Jesus is speaking of a clash between loyalties. Is our primary loyalty to God and his kingdom, or to our family? Which one comes first? And those rival loyalties could be anything, not just family, but that's the focus here. Now, we might hear that and even kind of angrily think, you know, is this a contest between God and our families? Sensing that it shouldn't really be like that. And we're right, it shouldn't be a contest. God should be in his right first place and priority in our lives. He alone is our creator, sustainer, redeemer. And our family should be in its rightful second place to God, honouring and serving the will of God the Father first in everything. And in that second place, being honoured, blessed and enriched by God as the glorious second highest relationship in creation that it is. The problem is when our family concerns or wishes become more important than the will of God the Father to us. You know, as we've heard this morning, our families will always have many wonderful aspects to them. And they will satisfy many of our immediate needs. But if we drift into letting our family become our first priority in life, and we get our ultimate support and fulfillment from them, rather than having God and his kingdom as our first priority and our ultimate fulfillment, we actually risk losing everything of ultimate value. Just back to Jesus' family labelling him as crazy. The classic translation of Mark 3 verse 21, it used to be that he is beside himself. He is beside himself. But how can you be beside yourself? Well, the Greek word translated here is also a very familiar one to us because it's been taken straight over into English. That is the Greek word eccentric. Ek, the first part of it, literally out or out of, and centric, meaning the centre of our life or our being. So by using this word, they're saying that Jesus has his centre, his thoughts, desires, concerns, commitment, will, his drive, not focused in himself, but instead focused outside of himself. The centre and focus of his life is in other people, God the Father, and in all people whom God loves. Jesus, in other words, is the opposite of self-centred. He is other person-centred, focused not on his own needs and concerns and desires, but on those of others. And people see that, and what do they say? It's nuts. It's crazy. It's insane. It's demonic. Why? Because most people think that the most important thing in the world is you or me. As the advertising slogans have it, and is the key principle of present day psychology. The most important person in the world is you, is me. So who's really sane? And who's insane? By holding out God's merciful love as the truth, Jesus is saying that this love is what gives us true wholeness and health of body and mind and relationships and everything. In other words, this is what truly sane life is all about. Being captivated by this love. When I was reconverted to Christian faith as a young adult, I became more interested in God and other people than I did in satisfying my latest whim and doing whatever I wanted. And before I became a Christian, I was known amongst friends for doing a bit of crazy stuff. In fact, sometimes just plain nuts. Another synonym would be stupid. But when my mates saw me become more interested in God and his plan for our lives, they said, "Whoa, Button's really lost it now." You know, they were saying I was beside myself. I was insane. But who's really sane and who's insane? Our society has been won over to the idea that a self-centric way of life is the only way that makes real sense. So we're taught in every area of life that we have a right to decide for ourselves what is our own truth and to pursue whatever individual desires we have and to realise them without reference to others. In other words, do whatever you like. And this is claimed to be what is right and normal and sane. But we see the wreckage that this causes to human lives and society in a million different forms. TV screens full of it every day. For example, legislation in Parliament this year that allows human beings to determine to end human life in the form of abortion legislation or the legislation around euthanasia. Every stage in history tends to be especially shocked by how bad things are in their own generation. You know, my parents and grandparents used to say when I was a little kid, "Oh, I don't know what the world's coming to." You know, now I say, "Oh, I don't know what the world's coming to." But actually, as the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. And so in the men's Bible study group, we've been doing a fascinating series on the book of Judges. And we had the final session last week where we read the last three chapters, Judges 19 to 21. I tell you, if you'd like to get some surprises, read those chapters. And we read it. We were actually sort of struggling to get through it, I think. It recounts horror mounted upon horror amongst the people that were God's people, Israel. And it's nauseating. And the book concludes, the book of Judges, with the reason why things are like this in this part of Israel's history. And it says in the final verse, "In those days, Israel had no king, and it was actually God who was supposed to be their king, and they'd rejected him." And then it says, "And everyone did as they saw fit." Everyone did as they saw fit. And that's what caused the wreckage. It's insane, but it's now pronounced as sanity. Who's really sane and who's insane? It's interesting in Mark 3 that Jesus was saddled with falsehood that wasn't his. So he was accused of being insane and demonic. And he was in fact the most sane person present. He was the one who truly did the will of God his Father, the one who was wholeheartedly convinced that the gospel of God's saving grace is the most important thing in our world and our lives. The most sane person there, yet he was saddled with this accusation of being demonic. But in becoming our real human brother, Jesus also experienced the psychological maladies that touch our lives. From when he just needed to get away into the hills to pray on his own, to needing the comfort of his friends as his mind was tortured in the Garden of Gethsemane, to who knows what hellish depths of madness in his crucifixion. And he did this all for us, for absolute love of us. He enters into our deepest depths of our sin and our suffering, whether it's mental as well as every other kind of suffering. And he does all of this to pay for and forgive our sins and to gather us up in his arms and to carry us home to the love of the Father and its blessed healing sanity. Jesus became our insanity that we might be made truly sane. You know, when we know the truth of Jesus Christ, we can be seriously messed up and still actually know that we're okay, sane at the same time. Because in and above all of that, we're held secure and we're wrapped up in Jesus' love, our true sanity. A good friend of mine from a number of years ago, going through severe mental illness, and with much grace from God and support from Christian brothers and sisters, he got to a point where he could say, I'm okay even though I'm still unwell. Because, and he said that I can rest in this and I can feel real peace and even a little bit of joy because I know that Jesus is with me and he's carrying me. Many of you know that I've had my own battles with depression and anxiety for over 30 years. And through times of illness, when I could be up, down, or all over the place psychologically and emotionally, I learned to hear and believe the gospel. That Jesus had grasped hold of me in his almighty grace in the cross, and he would never let me go. And I learned that he was carrying me, whether I thought it or felt it or not. And I could believe his word of promise and cling to it. And I've found that he has gotten me through every struggle with depression and anxiety. Brought me through it. And his grace has met me in many ways through the healing power of the Holy Spirit, through helpful doctors, including Christian ones who prayed with me, helpful medications, which are not easy to find when you're going through mental illness, through reading the experiences of others who've been through similar things, and most of all, through my family and close Christian friends who've loved me and prayed for me. One day, there'll be no more depression or medications or struggles. And I'll be fully healed forever. In the meantime, I still have battles. It's not easy. Sometimes it's very hard. But Christ is my sanity. And he wraps me up in himself. I dwell in him, as the Bible tells us. Jesus was nuts about God, his Father. And he was nuts about the Father's goodwill to bring his love and saving grace to us and all people. And he gives us the gift and privilege to join him in that, in doing that excellent goodwill of God the Father. And for doing that, we might be called and treated as crazy or worse. But we'll know that there is nothing better, healthier, or more sane in the universe. We will be happily crazy for Jesus. Amen.